So the reason we went down, we went with our church, and there were two missionaries who had originally gone out from our church, and they went to China as teachers, okay, as English teachers, because in China it's called a closed access nation, okay, which means you can't go in there and openly speak about Jesus. You're not allowed to do that, okay? So they changed the name and they called it a creative access nation. So how else can we get into a country and preach without actually openly preaching, right? And they did that through going and being teachers, and they would pray that God would send them people to talk to because they weren't able to do it themselves. So they relied completely on God in bringing them people to speak to, and their lives did the rest in terms of the testimony. So we went over there to help them at university, okay? So while a lot of the other missions trips were dealing with kids and, you know, underprivileged people and all that kind of stuff, we were dealing with kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. We were with people who were doing postgraduate studies, so doctors, pharmacists, lawyers, all of that, at uni trying to learn English, okay? So we were helping them do that, and while we were doing that, we were doing little plays like you saw and stuff, the green nose and all of that, which had Christian messages without actually saying openly, hey, this is about Jesus, right? But these are smart people. They understand, or they understood. They're like, oh, were you talking about God? Were you trying to... And if they start the conversation, we're allowed to continue, which was pretty great. So we were trying to deal with a lot of issues with them, and obviously being older, the issues were a lot heavier, right? But anyway, so we went there for about, what, 17 days, something like that. But they were an incredible 17 days. And China is a very, very beautiful place, as you saw, right? And we had a fantastic time. But I was thinking this week about what to speak about. And I was telling this to my mentor group last week. When I was over there, because I didn't know anyone, and because it was a completely new environment, it felt like a different planet, I just felt like I could say or do whatever I want, and it didn't matter. I wasn't afraid to share my faith or to, you know, to live the way that I'm supposed to live, because I know that in the back of my mind, I'm never going to see these people again. But when I came back here, there were all these barriers that I felt to sharing my faith, okay, and to living that same fearless life that we were talking about in the songs of I surrender and I give you everything and you're a good father and all that kind of stuff. It's hard, right? So I tried to get to the root of it. What are the excuses that we make to not go out and do the job that we've been given to do? In terms of, we've been talking about missions for the last 3 weeks. That's the great commission from God. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he said, I'm sending you. Go out and tell everybody in the world about me. I'm paraphrasing. Tell everybody about me, okay? Because of what you've received, what you've seen of me, and the love that you've gotten from me, go and share it with the rest of the world, okay? But what stops us from doing that? I found the answer in Exodus. But you might not actually have to read all of these because I've kind of written them all down. But if you want to open to them while I speak, you can do that as well, okay? In the story of Moses. Moses, as you know, was a prince in Egypt, right? But he was originally a Hebrew, and he tried to free the Hebrews, but he did it the wrong way. He went about it by trying to kill an Egyptian. Didn't work. He ended up fleeing for 40 years. He was in the desert tending sheep. And then one day, God calls him. And he says, I want you to go back, and I want you to free my people, to bring them out, because I've heard their crying. Okay? These people are slaves, and they need salvation, and I'm sending you to get them out. Okay? That's what God said to Moses. Again, paraphrasing. So as soon as he says it, Moses says this. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That was excuse number one. Who am I? I'm not good enough. Who am I to go and stand in front of Pharaoh and tell him to let all the, like half the nation go? Who am I? I can't do that. We go a little bit further. And excuse number two. He says, suppose I do go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? Excuse number two. I don't have all the answers. What if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? right? Apply this to when you go out into the street and you see people, and are you going to talk to them about Jesus or not? These are the excuses that come up in our minds. They're the same ones as Moses. Excuse number three, Exodus 4, chapter 1. It says, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? I'm not convincing enough. People won't believe me. Excuse number five. Actually, excuse number four. Verse 10 of chapter 4. O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. In other words, I'm really bad at public speaking. I can't just go up to a random person and start talking to them about you. I can't do it. Excuse number five and the final one, verse 13 of chapter 4. It says, O Lord, please send someone else. That's it. It's not even an excuse. He's pretty much given up and he's out of excuses. And it just says, please send someone else. What do you notice about all of these? I'll say them again. Excuse number one, I'm not good enough. Excuse number two, I don't have all the answers. Excuse number three, people won't believe me. Excuse number four, I'm a terrible public speaker. Excuse number five, I'm not qualified. God answers each of these with something. And we're going to go through God's answers now. This is going to be a short message. We're going to go through God's replies. Excuse number one, I'm not good enough. It says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God replies, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. You're going to notice what God does here with each of Moses' little excuses. You've noticed that in each excuse, he says, I, me, my. It's all about him, because in Moses' mind, he's been given a mission and he thinks that he has to do it on his own. And that's not the case at all. God has given us this mission to go out into the world and tell people about him, but he doesn't leave us for a second as we do it. And you'll see that in his answers. Every time Moses says, I or my, God replies with an I or my about himself. When Moses says an I to describe himself, God replies with an I to describe himself. So he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And he replies to him, I will be with you. Okay? Excuse number two. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God replies, I am who I am. It's an answer that silences everybody. Because it says, I am God. And I'm the one with you. I'm the one speaking on your behalf. You think that you're doing this on your own, but you're not. Guys, we're called ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador takes the power, the name, and the citizenship of the kingdom that he's from. Okay? So when we go out tomorrow, if you're coming with us, okay? When you go out to hand those packs to people who have never met you before, you're carrying the power of the name of Christ, and you're carrying your citizenship in the other hand. You're a heavenly citizen. You're not from here, and you're representing God here. And he's right next to you, doing it through you as you move in the streets. Excuse number three, people won't believe me. What if they do not believe me or listen to me? God's reply, it's a shame that he gets to this point, that God has to keep telling him, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, in different ways. But he doesn't trust the word of God up to this point, so God shows him signs. He has a stick, he says, throw it on the ground, it turns into a snake. He has a hand, he puts it into his coat, he brings it out, he has leprosy. Now, you heard about leprosy last week. How devastating a disease that is and what it does to your skin. God said, put it back in your jacket. He did. He brought it back out and it was whole. It was clean. It was a miracle. So not only did God give him his word, he gave him signs to accompany that word. But that still wasn't enough. Excuse number four, I'm a terrible public speaker. Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent. I can't talk. God's reply was, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. It's as if God, like Moses is saying to God, you don't really know me. Like, you've picked the wrong person for the job. I'm not a good public speaker. God says, don't you think I know that? I created you. I made your mouth. I made your eyes. I made your ability to speak. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'm sending you on purpose for a reason. Now, excuse number five is the worst one. Because after God has given him all of that, Moses is revealed, because God's given him an answer to every excuse that he's had. So he has no more excuses. So at the end, he just says, Lord, honestly, I don't want to do it. Please send someone else. How do you think that makes God feel? Just after every assurance that he will be with you when you go and do this, I don't want to do it. Just send someone else. But he agrees when God tells him, what about your brother Aaron? I'll give you your brother to accompany you on the mission. Isn't it a shame that the only time that Moses agreed to go was when he had human help instead of God's help? Four chances. God says, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm doing this through you, you're not on your own. But it's only when Aaron comes into the picture, another human being who's just as powerless as Moses, that Moses finally says yes. It's a shame. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I think the reason we chicken out of talking to people and living the proper way is because we think it's all on us. That we have to do it. That we have to actually show the results. The pressure is on us. But it's not on us, and it never was on us. It's on God. The only thing we do is be willing to actually go. Be willing to move. Be willing to open our mouths and let words come. And the rest, God does. And I'll prove it to you. Look at Matthew 16, chapter 5, verse 5 to 11. Matthew 16, chapter 5 to 11. It talks about the disciples. Now we've moved to the New Testament. Okay? We're going to finish in like 5 minutes. The disciples before the Holy Spirit came, okay, were the most like silly people ever. Honestly, when you see them, like the way they talk to Jesus and the way they like do things, it's like a bunch of Teletubbies just falling over each other. Like, it's just, they're so nonsensical in the way they live their lives. It's ridiculous, okay? Listen to this. So they're in a boat with Jesus. And they've just come back from Jesus feeding 4,000 people from literally thin air, okay? So this is what happens. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. So Jesus says, be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they discussed this among themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I wasn't talking to you about bread? I'm quoting Jesus right here. I'm not saying it. They're like... literally, they've just come back from feeding all these people, and they're like, okay, we don't have any bread on the boat. He must be talking about the bread. To the point, like, this is the first time you see Jesus, like, annoyed with his disciples. Like, it doesn't happen anywhere else. Like, come on, guys, seriously, come on. They have, like, no direction, no bearing, no understanding, and no courage. Because every time a difficult situation came up, they ran. When it was Peter, when Jesus was taken, he dragged behind. And when they asked him, hey, we know you. You were with this man. You were with Jesus. You're his disciple. He said, I don't know him. I have nothing to do with him. Don't look at me. Three times. And when Jesus died, they all hid in one room and locked the door because they knew that the Pharisees would be looking for them to see if somebody stole the body of Jesus. They cowardly huddled in one room. No understanding, no bearing, no direction, no courage. Then the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. And in Acts 2, if you don't know the story, as soon as Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, as soon as he had God dwelling inside him, God now controlling him, God now speaking through him, he gets up in front of 3,000 people and speaks one of the most powerful sermons that have ever been spoken. In 5 minutes, he brought 3,000 people to Christ. He didn't speak for more than 5 minutes. It's one page of writing. That's it. 3,000 people broke down and came to Christ in one go. This is the same guy who followed Jesus and who said, I don't know him. This is the same guy who was in the boat arguing about the bread. This is the same guy who did so much other dumb stuff when he was with Jesus. But suddenly, God comes into his life and controls him. And he is a different human being. In every way. This guy is a fisherman, guys. Peter was a fisherman, okay? He didn't go to Monash Uni, okay? He wasn't an educated guy. He didn't take English lessons. He probably didn't know how to read and write. But he gets up after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit comes, and he gives one of the most eloquent speeches ever. How? How? Because God is controlling him. Acts 4:13 says this. When this is talking about the Pharisees looking at the disciples after the Holy Spirit came, okay? When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, uneducated, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They became famous, these people, right? Who on the outside looked like nothing. No education, they don't look like much on the outside, but people can tell straight away they've been with Jesus. That's the one thing that distinguished them. It says their courage, they realized they weren't educated, but they were talking like scholars. And they had courage. None of these things they had before Jesus ascended, before the Holy Spirit came, while he was here. They didn't have any of that. No wisdom, no courage, no nothing. Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We're finishing that. If you recognize that God is with you wherever you go, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, there is no minute or second in the day when Jesus is not with you. That doesn't happen. If that's the case, and you're going to speak to somebody, and you know that you have the Holy Spirit inside you, if you just let him do his work through you, you will be exactly the same as all of them. Yes, you feel like you don't know how to speak. Yes, you feel like you don't know how to approach somebody. Yes, you feel scared. You feel like you have no courage. But it's not about you. It happens through you. That's what you have to understand here. Missions and living the Christian life isn't done in your own power. It can't be done in your own power. Look at the disciples. The disciples are the best of us. I look at them and I bag them when I read about them. But I realize I'm much, much worse than them. In the way that God tries to speak to me and I ignore him, or I act the complete opposite way, or whatever. I'm worse. But when you let God take over, amazing things happen. You stop being that fumbling person who doesn't know what to say, who doesn't have the answers. All of that goes out the window. And Christ himself speaks through you. And that's the most amazing thing. I want to leave you guys with a verse. It's Luke 12, 11 to 12. I want you guys to read. When you are brought before synagogues, this is Jesus speaking. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. This is the thing that scared me most, and still, when I go talk to somebody. What am I going to say? And if they attack my faith, how am I going to defend it? Jesus here in a plain, bold, banner statement says this. Do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. Why? For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Can you believe that? That's a real verse. First time I read that, I flipped the page. I was like, that's unbelievable. I no longer have to worry about this preparing and the anxiety and what am I going to do and what. Just walk up to the person. That's your job. Just walk up to the person. He does the rest. It's not your job after that point. It's his. We back out because we feel the whole pressure is on us. We have to do this. We have to get the results. It's not your job. It's your job to obey. When God called Isaiah, he was looking for somebody to send out to the nations. And he said, "Who shall we send?" And Isaiah stood before him and he said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." That's your job. Your job is to make yourself available for God to send you and to use you. He does the rest. So if you've got the list of excuses of, I'm not good enough, I don't have all the answers, people won't believe me, I'm a terrible public speaker, or I'm not qualified, God's already answered all of those. The same answers he gave to Moses are the same answers he gives to you. Whenever you say I, he replies with, but me. But I am good enough. And that's what it's about. It's not about us, it's about him. So when you're going out, stop thinking about it from your point of view and think about it from God's. Make sense? Okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you carry us, Lord, when the world gives way. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can't live the Christian life in our own power. But we thank you that you dwell within us, Lord. You are able to do all things, Lord. So I just pray that as every head is bowed now, Lord, that we would just take this time, Lord, to remember who you are, Lord, in us. That you are the God who created the world, Lord. That you are the infinitely powerful one. That you have all the wisdom, Lord, and that there is no one who could ever argue against you. And that we remember that you, Lord, are the one standing next to us as we live this life from day to day, Lord. You're the one holding our hand. You're the one leading us and acting through us, Lord. I pray that you'd purify each of us, Lord Jesus, and that you'd use us for your glory, that you'd give us the courage, Lord, and that you'd transform our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. In your precious name, amen.